Oh, Wes, are you doing? Are you hosting? Or am I hosting?
I think I'm hosting.
Oh, you're hosting.
Yeah, but that's right. Okay, because you just tell me things to ask anyway.
I'll tell you when to move on when it gets too
Battle of the Network Stars. Battle of the Hosting Stars.
Yeah. Oh, there's Monty.
We have Monty, Jason, John, and me. I don't think anyone else. I just sent an email out because I thought a couple of the people were going to try to get on. But
Dan Frakes is available. I don't know if he's planning on being.
Hello, Monty.
So many.
Hello.
Minutes. Hello, Monty.
Hello.
So I'm just going to record.
These are all people who have trophies.
I love my trophy. Thank you for arranging. Do I owe you money? I owe you money.
No, you don't owe me money.
What?
And nor do you owe Greg Noss money. Greg Noss actually sprung for the trophies, and then we sprung for the postage.
I'm intending to use mine to win arguments at work because we just started two magic podcasts.
Ah.
Listen to me.
I don't think I've ever had an award before I've actually appreciated until this one.
Hello, award-winning. I was talking to somebody about it. I said, look, you can call it an award-winning podcast forever now. Forever. Doesn't matter. We won an award. Award winning. Done. Steve.
The Lutz.
I think.
Lutz.
Hello.
Lutz.
Eat it, Lutz.
Lutz.
I'm eating it, boss. I'm eating it.
Murder.
That makes good for good podcasting.
Yeah.
Hearing people eating it.
Whatever it might be.
Hey, who's hosting?
Well, I'm hosting because I'm the host.
Who isn't hosting?
Jason's hosting, but I intend to wrest control from him as usual.
Because I went to see Wreck-It Ralph, so I was qualified to host.
Right on.
Excellent.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody on the 5x5 chat room. We're back. I already did a podcast today, so this is my second podcast of the day.
Hi, Jason.
You must be exhausted.
Wow, it is exhausting.
I have 4 podcasts over 2 days. This is the second of 4 I'm doing.
Yes. The new disruptors, right?
New disruptors, and I'm doing. I'm talking to Flaming Carrots creator Bob Burden tomorrow for Boing Boing.
Wow,
with Boing Boing, which would be fun.
Chase Nathan in the chat room says double dosage.
Yes,
of course, we know that any kind of situation like this is in fact dual eatage.
Dual eatage. So it is.
It was the theme of Glenn's logo with the ham with the two things in it. That's dual eatage.
That's dual eatage.
Mike Montero has interesting ideas about ham.
Dual eatage.
The ham with the two things in it?
Ham with two things.
Yeah, two plugs.
That's the theme. You can
it's
plug
a ham-based soundboard.
Ham-based mic.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
Recording.
Yeah, recording. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kishanu B'mitzvotav Yitzivanu Le'ahavik Ner Shel.
Now we can never burn
Hanukkah.
This podcast. We can
podcast.
Never, you can never delete this podcast.
Yeah. Hi there, for Gland. How about you,
Gland?
I can't do the podcast anymore. Glenn has to take over for me now. I've completely lost control.
Containment has been.
Yes.
No, now has anyone here seen King of Kong Fistful of Quarters?
Yes,
I have.
Okay, so did anyone get the reference to Litwack? Mr. Litwack is Walter Day.
I saw they were trying to do that, but I'm like, that doesn't look like Walter Day.
The beard. Well, the referee thing, the face wasn't exactly
I know,
same.
But the face didn't look like him. His face is rounder. I kept thinking they were trying to do Walter Day, but it didn't look like him. So bad job.
They may have been making, I think it was just, I think they wanted to be close enough, but not too close. Because
they
want to
get sued.
Yeah.
You know, it's also, what's funny is just after the game came out, the Twin Galaxies site, he sold it and it's like completely fallen apart. It's not up anymore. They promised to bring it back. So the site that's been used for decades to track video game scores when Wreck-It Ralph came out essentially died right before that. Very weird.
See, I love that movie because I saw that in a series of documentaries about people who are incredibly obsessed. I mean, those are the best documentaries, right? Incredibly
like
obsessed
Scrabble.
With something that you can't imagine people being obsessed with.
Oh.
But that's where I learned about the concept of the kill screen, which ends at the end of Donkey Kong. And what's great, and I only saw this because Glenn told me to stay in the theater all by myself. It was a little bit creepy until everything is played. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the last frame of Wreck-It Ralph is a kill screen.
It's at the, they show the Disney thing.
The Disney logo comes up.
There's nothing. And they show that. And then the first time I was there, I was there with my friend Jeff Carlson. And we're like, we're waiting. We're waiting until it goes black because they have something for us. And that was it. And the next time, and everyone else had left. The next time there were about 20 people in the theater behind us. Everyone else left waiting for it. And we're all like, woo, when it goes up.
Yeah, because it actually breaks in and the characters come across. And then it, you know, and then that's the end. It's really fast, but it's a kill screen. So that was a nice touch.
People saying in the chat room, was it the Pac-Man kill screen where the left side or the right side is scrambled?
Right side, yeah. Gets scrambled and the characters kind of come out, and yeah, and it's like a half a second.
There are other kinds of kill screens, I believe, where the game doesn't have an error that makes it unplayable, but rather they just make a board that it's impossible for you to live through.
No, this was like the Pac-Man. I think isn't that the Donkey Kong 2 at the end where it's kind of like not, it's messed up and that's the end. But yeah, it's that same idea. So that was a nice touch too.
You're not going to believe how they made Gollum.
What? No, Gollum is a guy, right? My kids were watching Lord of the Rings, and my son said, "I think they got a really skinny guy to be Gollum." And I said, "Yeah, no, that's not quite right."
Grandpa, is that you?
But the
excuse me.
I give him too much credit. I thought they were going back to Dragon's Lair with that balls in the canyon reference.
Oh, man. Wow, that was something I'd purged from my mind for 20 years. Yeah.
Wow. Balls in the canyon, not a euphemism, Steve?
No, I'm just going to let that one slide right on by.
I just played Dragon's Lair on the Xbox, and I can report that it is not a fair game. I cannot believe I pumped quarters
no,
into that.
No, it totally violates my rules of video games.
Oh, totally. That game was entirely designed to suck the quarters out of your pocket forever.
And it was fantastic. Man, did I love that game.
Oh, I hated it because it was so hard that I just gave up immediately.
And well, you just sit there and watch the guy who had spent $50 on the game and learn the patterns that way.
It was actual animation, not graphics. It was amazing.
That was fantastic.
I just remember spending like $10 on the first two screens when I started playing it, right? Like, this time I'll get it.
Will you unplug me?
Wow. Achievement unlocked. Glenn's singing version.
They asked
for more singing, so, you know.
That's the third time we've sung something.
I'm working on an incomparable version of the Sugar Rush song, but that'll take more time.
Take as much time as you want.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. I set you up. I've only seen three 3D movies. One was a movie about a German dancer, Glenning.
Oh, Glenn.
Pena, choreographer.
Pina.
One was Pina, which was beautiful. One was Avatar.
Steve, just let it go, Steve.
P-I-N-A. No.
Okay.
It's a 3D, a 3D movie about a penis. I don't know what happened.
And Avatar and Hugo. I only see one word movie.
Oh, Hugo's good.
And 3D. But I've been waiting to find, I'm going to see Hobbit in 3D at 48 frames per second.
Yeah, because that's the only one they're doing 48 frames per second.
Me too.
Yeah. So
it's going to be terrible.
It probably,
I
don't care.
Horrible, but we'll see. Because of the
apparently making people nauseous as well.
Yeah.
It's the super realism. It actually makes props look like props is what I've read because it's actually so crisp.
Right.
So we shall see.
Right.
I talked to somebody who saw a preview of it at 48 frames per second. He said it's like watching a Mexican soap opera on one of the fancy HDTVs at Best Buy. Just way too crisp to take seriously.
I can't wait to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Get that resolution.
So you're saying I should wait for a network TV?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just crank it down to 10 frames a second or so, and then it'll seem really, really, really good.
Or how fast can you blink?
Yeah, right. If you can blink it.
Just torrent someone who recorded it on a film camera from the audience.
On a cell phone camera?
Sure.
Yeah,
why not?
That'll take out all the clarity and high frame rate.
But I do try to avoid the 3D movies because I feel like they're unnecessary and sometimes they make my head hurt. And, you know, and some of the conversions are really lousy, and sometimes I end up stuck watching a 3D movie, and sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. Like Life of Pi was really nice in 3D. It looked great. That was a beautiful use of 3D. Tron Legacy was a good use of 3D because that was really the reason to see it, is because it had all the crazy, kind of crazy 3D graphics stuff. So there are some movies that I've seen, and some of the Pixars and things like that. But,
well, Scorsese used in Hugo. Scorsese
and Hugo, it's very nice. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it was
that guy's got a future.
And Hobbit, you know, watching how they prepared that, I'm hoping that is the same thing. But yeah, you do hope animation takes the best advantage of it. And if it doesn't, it's sort of odd.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're doing the math. I mean, they can literally, because one of the biggest problems with shooting 3D is that you have to, is mechanical. It's like to get a 3D camera where you've got the two lenses and all that stuff. It's like really, really hard. So they, even movies that they know they're going to be in 3D, they'll often just shoot it with one camera and just convert it later. And at least with animated movies, you don't have to do that. You don't have film or you know, two lenses with a real light going through them. You've just got a program in a computer, so you can just do the math and have it be a 3D
image. Tell us how 3D
works, Jason. You just fire up another,
the left eye is slightly offset from your right eye.
You just fire up another nuclear.
Oh, like
you fire up another nuclear. fire up another nuclear plant.
We are so far down the rabbit hole now.
To power the data center. This is all going in After Dark anyway.
Yeah.
I need one more nuclear power plant, and then you can run the data center that runs the 3D. When we get to 4D, someone was commenting on something I wrote recently, and they said something about, and 4D two-way video conferencing. I'm like, I missed a D.
Time travel?
I missed a D. I don't know what happens.
I don't know
they
what happens.
They meant 4K, then. Apparently.
So should we talk about old video games now that we've talked about a movie?
Wait,
about,
I was just going to say.
Oh, no.
I was
continue.
Really glad that you brought up. Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
All right, one last thing on Wreck-It-Ralph for you, Steve, since I think you were the one who was a little bit upset about her wearing the glitch outfit in on the picture on the outside of the box.
Yeah,
I've got an explanation for that if you would like it, or you could continue to be angry about it.
I will continue to be angry even after you explain.
All right, so my explanation is it makes perfect sense that inside the game, the world of the video game would be like the Matrix, where there is always a glitch and a character trying to take over the game, and then it just resets and goes around, and she's actually the 17th glitch becoming the star of the game. So, of course, on the outside of the game, like, the game is set up that way. It's a program. It's deterministic.
I love
so
that
it makes
theory.
Sense because it's more like the plot of the Matrix?
Yes, that's right. I just blow your mind.
Huh. I actually don't get that at all. But I'm not bothered by that.
I admire your theory, John.
Or is it just that the game is about a former princess trying to get her glory back? And so, you know, the picture on the outside is her current state.
The meta-narrative.
Yeah, maybe she slums it as a racer in order to, you know, I don't know.
But didn't anyone want to know about the little girl playing video games? Why didn't we get her backstory? Why? No, not really.
Steve, did you have something else you wanted to say about the movie?
Yeah, I was going to say I was really glad that you brought up Tron, because how does Disney make a movie about anthropomorphizing video games and video game characters and not make Tron reference after Tron reference?
You're right.
Yeah, that was for computers, not... it's the difference between arcade console versus PC games. Well, totally separate.
Flynn,
you have to draw that hard line.
No, there were video games
Flynn's
involved in
arcade.
Flynn's Arcade. That's where the recognizers were. They were all connected somehow.
I'll also point out there's one tiny additional detail. Is this is a type geek thing, so people will appreciate it, right, on this podcast. Litwalks, the sign, is in Baby Teeth, a classic Milton Glaser face that was used everywhere in the 70s, so it was actually a perfect typeface.
If they had Journey playing on a jukebox in the arcade, you'd have your Tron reference and you'd be set.
Well, I caught a couple of things. Like there was the thing
Tron
at the top.
Games.
Right, right.
There you go. Yep. Well, there was the thing at the top of. I didn't see any Midway characters at all. So maybe that's.
Yeah, I really wanted to see reference. Like an ostrich fly by with.
When you went to the top of the tower, the thing surrounding the metal looked a little like the MCP towards the end of the film.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was one. And then the bugs themselves, the replicating bugs, might have been kind of a sort of sidelong reference. But
did they have
other
any light
that,
cycles anywhere? I don't remember if there was light cycles.
I don't think so.
That would have been obvious.
They could easily have put one
racing.
On there in Sugar Rush, right? Like maybe some sort of, I don't know, Tootsie Roll light cycle of some kind.
Yeah.
Or I don't think light cycles could
Turbo's evil
curves.
Vehicles.
No, they were too busy making a how many licks to get to the center reference to bother with light cycles.
Again, the candy people put in, they put in their money.
Sorted nuts.
Oh, King Candy.
You guys not now, like candy? Yeah. Is that the problem?
You wouldn't hit a guy with glasses.
I don't like candy in my video games. No, I don't like video games in my candy. Wait, it tastes better.
Two great Lutzes.
Two great things that are enjoyable together.
Yeah. Also, verp? What the hell is this verp? The word is burf, damn it.
I don't know.
Are what you yelling at the chat room or just like yourself and the voices you hear?
No, no, it's a Vanellope line. She says that she has like a half vomit, half burp. She calls it a verp.
Calls it a verp?
No, it's an accepted term. It's a burf.
It's a burf.
It's been a burf since the 80s. That's a reference that Fix-It Felix Sr. would have gotten.
Well, Glenn put that, and then you die as a title suggestion in before I finished saying it.
I was typing something else that was very similar, and then you said it, and I just like, oh, I think, I'll type that in.
I remember when Glenn was listening to the delay from the live stream, I was listening to the future stream.
Yeah, I think I may be delayed right now myself on my own podcast. I think Glenn is ahead of me now.
Someone had said something similar earlier. I was typing it, and you said, as I was typing, you said, and then you die, and I was typing, and then I went, oh, blink.
That is frightening.
One of the best stories in Woz's book was about how, if I get the details right, is remember that Atari, I think it was Nolan Bushnell, had approached Steve Jobs to talk to him about he and Woz writing some code. I don't know if Jobs ever wrote a line of code at that point, but who knows. And they wrote Breakout for Atari, wasn't it? Wasn't that for Nolan Bushnell?
Are you the only one in this podcast who doesn't know the Steve Jobs breakout story, Glenn?
No, I'm telling the story for listeners. It's in the Woz book, he cheated Woz out of the money.
Yeah.
Right, because I think when Jobs told him they got $300, they actually got $800. They said, we'll split the $300, something in that range.
It was
right?
more than that. It was like they got like $5,000, he told them they got $300.
So, so Jobs totally ripped him off, and it wasn't until years later that Woz knew, right? And Breakout was a Easter egg game on the original iPod, not an Easter egg game, but it was in the original iPod, wasn't it? And then it was also, it's still, you can buy it today too. So even like I was just thinking that Wozniak continues to be ripped off to this day. It's like the ultimate revenge, or not revenge, but ultimate indignity.
Yeah, and Atari didn't hire Steve Jobs because he smelled bad. So, you know, live and learn.
That's probably a good reason.
What was the System 7.5 thing that had Breakout in it as an Easter egg, Jason? Do you remember that?
The About Box?
The About Box.
Is that where it
was? You had to type in...
What
was that? I have to look it up. It's did you have to do something to make it show up, or did you just sit there?
I can't remember. No, you had to do something. I was trying to Google.
You type secret about box in stickies.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
It's a desktop,
you're right.
And it plays a hidden one of the credits on the bricks that made System 7.5. That's right.
That's right.
Even the Apple II had a Breakout clone.
Sure.
When you bought the computer.
Yeah.
It was on the System Master Disk. You could play a little Breakout. It was part of Color DemoSoft.
Yeah. Probably written by Steve Wozniak himself.
It's entirely possible.
Though, but I just love the emulation. It's like, it is the original Pong game, isn't it? With maybe no changes running inside a virtual. I just love that.
There's so much of the old computer stuff that is not available in legal emulation. It's out there, but it's not legal. But what's happened with these video games is that they've gotten their act together, where they've taken their ROMs and emulation software and packaged it up and are making money off of these ancient pieces of code. It's kind of amazing.
And in a lot of cases, I think licensing the code that the MAME guys or some of the other emulator coders wrote.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
To achieve that.
Yeah.
Sure, because they've got the intellectual property, so they just take the emulator code and pay for that, and then they wrap it around their ROMs, and you got Atari's greatest hits, or
which
or
is
whatever.
Great from an emulation standpoint too, because then you can go out and buy that, and then you legally own a copy of the ROM, and you can put it in your MAME cabinet.
We just got to be grateful that they let us play it for free after we buy it, and don't ask for a 99-cent in-app purchase for every quarter, because they could totally do that, and that would be bad.
That's how the Zynga version will work.
Yeah, exactly. Ah,
you
see what
you
I did
put
there?
In the Pac-Man dying sound.
Yeah,
it's a tribute to the talk show.
Yep.
I would just like to clarify for past incomparable guests who might be listening to us after dark that Steve Lutz's icon is not a cat on a toilet.
No, it's a cat.
The cat is sitting in the sink.
In the sink next to a toilet.
Totally, it's totally different.
Oh, you're right.
I totally got that wrong.
Yeah. I got it wrong one time, too.
At all.
I knew it, and I just let it go.
That's totally fine.
And cats don't sit in the toilet. Cats sit in sinks.
You can train cats to go on the toilet, you know.
You can, but that cat is clearly in a sink.
It is.
That one is not,
you're right.
Not trainable.
Cats love sinks. Oh,
there you go.
That's it.
Oh, that's good.
I think Glenn has a switch on his back that goes English, German, Cubert.
It's funny. What's funny is if you ask German people, I don't speak German at all.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Although that's a serviceable Russian accent. I think that's the first Russian, I think that's the first accent I've heard you do that's pretty good.
It actually sounds like what it's supposed to sound
like. I have a long history of studying Russian people on radio. I will hear someone like Eugene, what's his name, Morozhlovsky or something, talking about technology, and I listen to how he talk, and then I try to talk like him.
He sound like the Charles Winchester character on Lilo and Stitch.
He sound like an American trying to play a Russian in an 80s movie about during the Cold War.
You're a very funny guy.
Mouse and Squirrel.
Mouse and Squirrel.
Yeah, that cat is clearly in a sink. You're right. That's incomparable trivia. I actually took a screenshot of my Skype window. Maybe I'll put that in the show notes, too.
That's good.
This is who we were. It was Link, a picture of... It's Jason. Monty, Glenn, Link, Dan Frakes' key... And now everybody can hear me because somebody's unplugged their headphones. And, of course, the cat sitting in the sink.
It's about cats.
Yeah.
In sinks.
Boys, sinks. It's time for me to take out trash.
And autocorrect changes.
In Russia,
changes
trash takes
S Lutz into klutz.
It's klutz.
Klutz. All right. Thanks, everybody.
I'll send you audio.
Good night.
Please, yes. Please send me files. Please
send
to be
audio.
Sending me
the
files.
I'll send you files, Jason.
Yes.
Good night.
Are you wearing a loincloth, Zangief style?
Just because Glenn is bad guy does not mean he is bad guy.
Just because you are bad guy doesn't mean you are a bad guy.
There we go. See, we got him back on it.
Just bad accent.
If I could say one thing. No, nothing.
No.
I got nothing.
It would be in Cupertese.
I have nothing here.
Why Zangief when you could do Dalsim is my question.
It was cheaper.
Cheaper.
If you do a Russian accent, that won't offend people. But if you do a mock Indian accent, it will offend people.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Ooh, that's true. It'll be all over Twitter before you know it. They could have hired Ashton Kutcher to do the mock Indian
accent.
Bullshit!
Which character is it that says bullshit? Is that Ryu or Ken?
I don't know, but I'm
literally about to take out the trash. So
all right.
Good night. Good night.
I suffered a horrible injury playing Street Fighter once.
Is that right?
Yeah, this was a Street Fighter 1, not Street Fighter 2. And it had these giant red buttons that you would hit, and there was a force feedback thing. So it was one button for punch and one button for kick. And the harder you hit it, the harder your punch or kick would be.
Yeah.
And to do the fireball, it was the same move as they put in Street Fighter 2, which was back and left and swish around to the right front. So if you were good at the game, you would spend a half hour yanking the joystick around and pounding the button as hard as you could. And when I stopped, the circle of skin on the palm of my hand was still on the joystick.
Oh, tote style.
It wow.
Gross.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah, see, and that was the other thing that confused me about using Turbo, because weren't there like upgrades to Street Fighter games that were called, you know,
yes.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo?
Nah.
And I was trying to figure out how
Turbo.
That applied. Yeah, but that one where in Street Fighter, I think Turbo is clearly meant to indicate this is an advancement over the previous version or some kind of an upgrade.
But
so I was trying to figure out how does this going turbo thing relate to that? I don't know. I'm
overthinking
confused.
It. Maybe.
It's for kids.
It is, you know.
Do kids even know what an arcade is?
That's what I'm saying. Not unless they go to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, go to Portland. Ground control is
the
best.
Idea of having to go somewhere to play video games probably seems a little foreign to kids these days.
Well, having to go somewhere to do anything.
Yeah, but they have that at like I said, they have a Scandia or places like that. The arcades still exist as a concept, but they're weird. I think kids don't.
Yeah. Well, and they smell more like feet than ball sweat.
Yes.
And they're
longer kids
destinations,
are still drawn to them,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not as... Go
my
ahead.
Kids have like a million video game consoles and a million video games, and yet anytime we go anywhere where there's video game machines, they are drawn to them and they want to play them. I'm like, why? You have iPods, you have iPads, you have
doesn't matter.
PlayStations.
Those things
are they draw kids.
Those things are, magical.
Even if it's like Missile Command, I'm like, this game is older than, you know, it's not older than your parents, but it's close.
But it's no longer a destination, right? For most kiddie people. It used to be when I was a kid, there was a arcade and you wanted to go just there. You just went to an arcade, right? Nowadays,
that's the reason I loved Vegas as a kid. Right. So my parents would go gamble and they'd dump me at the Circus mezzanine. I'd drop a few quarters trying to get a bowling ball into a little gully. And then I would go spend like $30 playing Galaxian.
How did that make you feel, Steve?
Kind of funny, really.
Fulfilled.
But good. In a way.
Tell me about your mother.
All right, 5x5 chat room. I'm turning off the thing now. Thanks, everybody in the chat room. Bye. You suggested many titles.
Chat room, you complete us.
You do. You and sometimes you auto-complete us to klutz.
You know, we didn't talk about like the old video games, you know, like the baseball game where there's actually a little steel ball that rolls down and you got to smack it with the wood thing that flips around.
It's not a video game.
That's a real game. That's don't care about those.
No, it's a no. game. That's like pachinko.
No.
They require video for a video game. I believe.
No, there were the ones that came later that actually then had the video screen with baseball at the top. It was actually showing like a baseball game, but it had the real old fashioned ones at the bottom. It was crazy. Yeah. Right, so you smack it, and it like the screen shows a guy swinging, and you know,
it's a Wii prototype.
I remember how excited I was.
Probably more accurate.
What was it? Baby Pac-Man or
Baby Pac-Man had the mixed pinball machine,
the pinball plus video game.
That's right. That was a great game.
That's right. I forgot about that one. Yeah, and it would switch between the two.
Yeah, very confusing.
It was a little impossible, but it was cool.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good video game or pinball machine.
No, it wasn't. Sucked at both.
All right, guys, I'm going to hang up. Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.